Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Stacy Silvera and I will be your guest host along with the Megamind Masterminders. I'm here in our virtual studio with some of my mastermind partners, Rosalind Roker, Jackie Pierce, Rachel Moore, and our group leader, Melanie Painter. I know they are all on the call, ready to jump in. This is our fourth week of hosting, and we are so excited and energized this early Saturday morning to be on the air with all of you. So I invite you to call, text, or email a family member or friend and tell them that we're on the air right now and they can join us via internet by logging into blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or by phone 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, you can also join us in the chat room or you can log on through your Facebook account. Make a comment and let us know you're listening and post your questions there as well. Today, we will continue our discussion on Think and Grow Rich by recapping Chapter 9, The Power of the Mastermind, and covering Chapter 10, The Mystery of Sex Transmutation. Before we get started, Roz, will you tell our listeners a little bit about the International Mastermind Association?
Good morning, everybody. The International Mastermind Association, or IMA as we call it, is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and to hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 different areas: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and creativity. For more information about IMA, International Masterminders Association, visit us on the web at www.masterminders.com or Facebook International Mastermind Association. Follow us by liking our page. We want to say hi to the founder, president of the IMA, Mrs. Ann McNeil, the master builder, building masterminds. I am sure she is out there listening with all of us today, and I think she's on the line.
Yes, she is. Thank you very much for sharing that information, Roz. And I just wanted to reiterate what Roz just said, that IMA is based on the book Think and Grow Rich, which is one of the most influential books of all time. The rich is discussed in the book and in our discussions here today and every Saturday at 8 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio need not be thought of only in financial terms. There are great riches in lasting friendships, harmonious family relationships, sympathy and understanding between business associates, and an inner harmony that brings peace of mind measurable only in spiritual values. The philosophy of Think and Grow Rich will prepare you to attract and enjoy these higher things in life, but only if you are ready for them. Be prepared, therefore, when you expose yourself to the influences of this philosophy, to experience a changed life, which may bring help. It may help you not only to negotiate your way through life with harmony and understanding, but also to prepare you for the accumulation of material riches in abundance. this gift of this book is all achievement, all earned riches have their beginning in an idea. If you are ready for the secret, you already possess one half of it. Therefore, you will readily recognize the other half the moment it reaches your mind. And I hope that our discussions will help you to reach that. But before we start our book discussion, I just want to remind our listeners that they can raise, you can raise your hand to ask a question or join the conversation by pushing one on your phones. And you can also post on IMA Facebook page to let us know you're here with us this morning. I'm going to ask Melanie to briefly recap the previous discussed chapters that are also available to our listeners as archived shows on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, everyone. Wonderful Saturday to you all. I'll just share the first 9 chapters to riches and let you know that today's discussion is on the mystery of sex transmutation. The first step to riches, desire, the starting point of all achievement. The second step to riches, faith, visualization and belief in the attainment of desire. The third step to riches, auto-suggestion, the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. The fourth step to riches, specialized knowledge, personal experiences or observations. The fifth step to riches, imagination, the workshop of the mind. The sixth step to riches, organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action. The seventh step to riches, decision, the mastery of procrastination. The eighth step to riches, persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. The ninth step to riches, power of the mastermind, the driving force. And today we'll discuss the tenth step to riches, the mystery of sex transmutation.
And I think right now, Jackie, you want to jump in here?
Good morning. We're going to do a recap of last week. We talked about the mastermind, the power of the mastermind. In chapter 9, Napoleon Hill defines the mastermind as a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. And in this definition, several of the key words that we focus on is in a spirit of harmony and attainment of a definite purpose. These are two very key attributes that must exist for the mastermind process to be successful. Economic advantages may be created by any person who surrounds him or herself with the advice, counsel, and personal coordination of a group of people who are willing to lend themselves wholeheartedly in a perfect spirit of harmony. This form of cooperative alliance has been the basis of nearly every great fortune. The psychic phase of the mastermind principle is no two minds ever come together without thereby creating a third invisible, intangible force which may be likened to a third mind. When the minds of two people are coordinated in a spirit of harmony, the spiritual units of energy of each man form an affinity which constitutes the psychic phase of the mastermind. This results in great power. This is a result of the whole being greater than the parts. You know, that's the result. So power equals organized and intelligently directed knowledge. No individual will have great power without taking advantage of the mastermind principle. We also learned that there exists a great unseen stream of power, which may be compared to a river except that one side flows in one direction, carrying all who get into that side of the stream onward and upward to wealth. And the other side flows in the opposite direction, carrying all who are unfortunate enough to get into it and not able to extricate themselves from it, downward to misery and poverty. Every man or woman who has accumulated a great fortune has recognized the existence of this stream of life, and it consists of one's thinking process. The positive emotions of thought form the side of the stream which carries one to fortune. The negative emotions form the side which carries one down to poverty. Again, we get to think and grow rich. If you think positive things, you will see them in your life and fortunes. And if you focus on negative things, it will also show up in your life. When riches take the place of poverty, the change is usually brought about through well-conceived and carefully executed plans. In poverty, you don't need a plan. It needs no one to aid it because it is bold and ruthless, where riches are shy and timid. They have to be attracted. So one of the other things that we were discussing last week on Mastermind is we talked about International Mastermind Association, and this is one of the great principles that IMA is focused on. Stacey?
Yeah, you know, as I'm listening to you talk about this stream and how we can jump in on the one side going north or on the other side going south, and as we talk this week, I know that I was definitely in the downstream and I swam across to the other side and have really found a way to turn my mental thinking around. And I think it's so important. And we know that even in the Bible, it references, you know, years of famine and years of plenty. And we really have to put ourselves in the frame of mind of abundance. And if we do that, you know, I have no doubt that this principle will take us and lift us to new heights. I don't know if anybody else has anything to say. Hello?
Think you focus on, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think you jumped up, you said something that brought something to mind, too, is that while you talk about these two streams, as we go through our life, we don't necessarily stay on the positive stream all the time.
Right.
Things happen that causes us, for whatever reason, to fall back into the less positive way or negative way. But we are in a position because we are studying and want to know that when we recognize that that's what we're doing, we can always go back. We can go back across the stream, as you said, so that it's a back-and-forth thing. It's the rare person, I think, that can stay on the path all the time, that there are things that happen that causes us to see things in a less than positive way. The things that are happening to our lives and how can they contribute to our better good, et cetera. And once we recognize that, we can always go back and get back on our more positive path.
And that's why masterminding helps, you know, because when you fall into that downward stream, your other partners can help bring you up. I know last week Melanie challenged our listeners to put some of the principles we've been discussing over the last few weeks into action in their lives. And at this time, we would love to invite our listeners to share some of their experiences and results. Please press 1 to let us know you have something to share, and we'll try to get you on the air as soon as we can. I know. Melanie, do you have anything that you want to add to the discussion from last week?
Not at this time. I really didn't have much practice this week, or, you know, I just, basically for me, I just try to stay positive this week. And like Jackie was saying, we don't always stay on that, you know, positive side. It's sometimes it's a struggle for each of us as individuals, depending on what we have going on. So for me, it's just trying to angle myself towards the positive side for the most part.
Okay. We have a caller from the Milwaukee area that I'm going to ask us to join in. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Redonna Rogers, and as you said, I live in Milwaukee, and I've had the privilege the last 2 weeks to listen in to Block Talk Radio with the Mastermind group here, and just totally are going to continue to embrace you all in this process. And so I'd like to speak to how within 1 week, just how the changing of a thought, two thoughts, has impacted my life in a way that is so amazing. And I have to, I don't know if it's Ann McNeil is on the line with us, but in the last week, practicing and the whole concept of thought and what you think, and I appreciate what you just said as far as there are times when we do, maybe we are going to, we slip and we start thinking downstream instead of upstream, because I was concerned that, oh boy, you got to think like this all the time. And but I started saying to people, just check how you think, and when you're talking or whatever you're doing, is it, are the words you're saying, before you say them, be positive in your thought, in your words. And as I set my goals, and I'm walking around, I'm with people, I noticed I was catching my language more, to be affirmative, distracting myself from anything negative, and focusing on the things that I want. And one of the things I shared when I was at the Success System I attended last week in Florida with Ms. Ann is that I love to speak, I love to MC, and I want to do more of these things. And I'm learning, it really is a gift that God has given me, and how to hone that and sharpen it and use it. And within a week, I'm president of a group here called the Black Women's Network. We had a dinner last night, and I was vacillating to should I be the MC or not, and I just took the brave move and said, I'm going to be the MC. We don't have to have the MC. This is what I want to do. I'm the president of the club. I can do this. As I talk to people, you know, I found other opportunities to potentially be their keynote in this process. And so it was just because I said I can do it versus asking permission, waiting for someone to tell me I could do it. I put my name on paperwork. I was the MC. Last night I learned so much from that event as far as my impact on that, and it's just marvelous. And as I talk with people, there's other opportunities. I just said to people, oh, yeah, I want to speak, and I will do this for a fee. And I never would have said that before. But
well,
it's like,
well, congratulations, my love.
Wow,
I'm so proud of you, and I'm glad that you were able to take Melanie's suggestion to challenge yourself to step up, and I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much for calling in, and we're having overcast weather today, so you don't have to be jealous.
Oh, I'm not so glad to hear that.
Well, you had a good week last week, so
it was great, and it will go forward. But I appreciate the concept of staying upstream, but sometimes you do go downstream, and this is why you have access to great people.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Rosanna. Have a good day, and continue to listen to us. I'm going to put you back on hold. When I was looking over the discussion for this week, I want to tell you I was really scared the first time I saw the title, this mystery of sex transmutation. What the heck does this have to do with Think and Grow Rich?
And I was really scared by that title. And I also want to go on record that I was a bit disturbed that all the references in this chapter were addressed to men. But then we have had a sexual revolution since the days when this book was originally written. And so I know that the principles apply to all of us. Very simply, sex transmutation means the switching of the mind from thoughts of physical expressions to thoughts of some other nature. And I'm going to bring Jackie back in to see if she can expound on this thought process of this sexual thing. I mean, I think I get it. And I want us to be able to share with our listeners what Napoleon Hill was really talking about when he brought this subject to bear.
I think we all had to, at least when we were talking during the week about this topic, and several of us had the same experience or reaction to the chapters, like, oh, my goodness. But I will say that as I read it, of course, was totally, I fell into the stereotype, and it was totally not focused on what I thought it would be, what I remembered even, because I read the book years ago, and as I'm rereading it, it's as if I've never read it before each, as we go through each chapter. So the topic is the mystery of sex transmutation. And the chapter starts out on page 189 with a definition for transmute. And in simple language, it means the changing or transferring of one element or form of energy into another. Mm-hmm. So as we think about that definition, it's telling us that this chapter is going to be talking about some type of change, and we talk about energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, jump in anytime, everybody.
Well,
go ahead, Velvet. Yeah, sorry about that. I have a thought because I didn't read the chapter, but I listened to it on my iPod this morning, and it immediately hit me because I've been hearing this over the years as I'm growing up. You know, I've had the opportunity to sit and speak with married folk. And sometimes in conversation I would hear somebody make reference to, my wife or my husband is out of town. What am I going to do? I miss them so much. And the response from other people would be to put that form of energy and do something else, transfer that energy into something else. And so some people may go to the gym and work out. Some people may read a good book or take the time to study something or go to the library, do some research. So for me, when I listen to the chapter, it really talks about, it really hit me because it talks about when you're in our physical selves, we can't really change the way we respond to certain things, the way we respond to certain people. But when you have sex mixed with love, mixed with, it's like a feel-good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that high, I think Napoleon Hill is trying to say that when you get those feelings, they all mix, those emotions are mixed together. You're on such a high that you tend to operate at your best.
Yes.
And when you do, you need to take that point at which you are and put it into the things that you desire. And those things you desire, maybe it might be starting your own business, or it may be just our audience member just said, maybe making a decision to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point is when you know you're operating at your best, you're at your highest potential, and there's no fear, there's no negativity, there's only positive feeling and moving forward. And I'm going to be able to do this. And I think that's exactly what he's trying to tell us. Like, anything
right,
sexual,
right, right.
anything that includes love and, you know, and he also made reference to as we live, we don't really reach our full potential until we are, like, over 40. And he attributed that to us basing all our sexual energy prior to 40 in a physical way.
Yeah.
But after 40,
right.
when that physicality is leaving us, we have no choice but to transfer that energy into something else. And that's when most people, and I checked it out. My father was the same way. He was his most successful, it was really after 36 years old. You know, he really was. And when I, you know, having listened to Napoleon Hill and I checked back at the research, and I even wondered that myself even before I even read this chapter. How come it is that people don't really reach their full potential in life until, you know, like after 35, 40 years old? And he has a reason for it. You want to say something, Jackie?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, and I always wondered, and it's probably because this is probably a very good explanation for it. We base all our physical feelings, we give it all the attention prior to 36, prior to 40, but then after that, when it starts waning and we realize we, you know, enter an old age or whatever you want to call it, midlife, we tend to want to give our attention to something different. And that's when we use that energy to build something else in our lives, you know.
Right.
Well,
right.
You know, pretty much what you were saying, Melanie, about the mind acting on a high gear. Napoleon addressed that in the book, and he said, you know, the human mind responds to stimuli, which it make the brain keyed up to a high rate of vibration, known as enthusiasm and creative imagination and intense desire. And the mind reacts to certain stimuli and responds in this way most freely. And the number one way is through the desire for sexual expression. The second is love. The third, a burning desire for fame, power, or financial gain. Music is also a stimulus. And friendship between either those of the same sex or those of the opposite sex. And a mastermind alliance based upon the harmony of two or more people who align themselves for spiritual or temporal advancement. And mutual suffering, such as that experienced by people who are persecuted, auto-suggestion, fear, and narcotics and alcohol. These are all the things that would stimulate the brain into those responses. Now, there were a couple of them there that were negative responses. You know, I don't need to tell you which ones they are. But if we can draw on these stimuli and get that energy going, which we talked about in the last chapter, where we're communicating with each other on a different level in the psychic mode, this is where we get our best ideas and where we get the impetus to do something. And, you know, I commend Rojana for jumping off this week and trying a different thing and doing that self-talk and everything to really project herself into a new attitude. And, you know,
I would like to say that when we talk about this, you know, in our mastermind organization, we have a youth component. So
mm-hmm.
while we're thinking about married people over 35, I want us to think about how we would explain this to our youth, how we would explain this particular principle to our youth. And before anyone answers that, let me just remind our audience that they're listening to IMA and we're exploring the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. We do this every Saturday morning at 8:00 on Blog Talk Radio. And you can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web or join us live by calling into the show at 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, just press 1, or you can also join us on the chat room, or you can log through your Facebook account. Okay, can someone talk about that with our youth?
Well, I have a very interesting conversation that I want to share with you all that I had at a meeting that I attended last week with Shirley Gibson, who is the mayor of the great city of Miami Gardens. And she, I think, tapped into this thing called sexual transmutation when she said she's very concerned about our young men and their pants that are falling off and all of this stuff. And she had a conversation with a young man one day who was walking down her street, and his, you know, he couldn't even walk because his pants were falling off. And she stopped and she asked him, you know, where are you going? What are you doing? Why are your pants on the ground? And before she could even say that, he said, I know why you're saying that to me, but I want you to know I'm an A student and all of this stuff. So she says, but why are you doing that? Do you have a girlfriend? You're a nice-looking man. And he said, yes. She said, does your girlfriend walk beside you when you have your pants on the ground like that? And I don't remember what she said his response was, but her idea is if we get our young ladies to put themselves in the frame of mind that they will not accept that behavior, that our young men would stop wearing their pants on the ground because they desire that thing that the girl can give them, which we won't go into that all, but they will change their behavior because they want to get the girl, and the girl is only going to accept. But we have to get it in the minds of a lot of young women so that we can change the behavior of our young men. We do have a caller on the line, and I'm going to let them join us. I believe it's Anne. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Sharon Jackson.
Hi, Sharon. Good morning. How are you today?
Very good. I am so glad that you went down the path to talk about the youth, because I do work with Stephanie Ebanks on the youth IMA, in the youth IMA section. And we have probably upwards of 15 to 20 youth that are in the youth program, but probably only 7 that are consistent. And what you can see from the ones that are consistent is that they do practice the IMA principle in every area in their life, and they have begun to exceed. And, you know, they do use, I mean, you're not going to take away the youthful part of them. You know, they are going to do this. They are going to do that. But their development, their spiritual development, their mental development, their educational development, every area that we emphasize in IMA has jumped forward astronomically just because they emphasize every week the IMA principles. And, you know, the sad thing is that we have not, this thing has not burst wide open for all of South Florida, all of Florida, because you can see the difference in the youth that practice IMA, that they do focus their activities on what is priority versus emotion. Right now, you think they're... So anyway, I just wanted to thank you so much for bringing that up. I couldn't press 1 to get in the queue fast enough. But
I saw that. Well, thank you so much for listening in and for joining the conversation. Did you hear my comments that Ms. Gibson made to us, you know, to try and bring the girls up? Do you think that this is something that we could, as a group of people,
absolutely,
work on?
Absolutely. And it's not just the girls. It is people that care. Because
yes,
one of the things that I noticed is that there aren't enough people to talk to these kids. I talk to, you know, kids, this is February, all right, Black History Month. For most of these kids, it means nothing because they do not relate to Rosa Parks. They barely even know who Martin Luther King is. But when you start talking to them on their level as to what it means, if these people were in your life, what now, right now, what it means, all of a sudden the light comes on and they change.
Yeah.
So, yes, girls, I mean, it's girls, obviously, but boys need to have someone speak into their life and tell them who they are, and what their divine destiny is.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much for joining us.
And the last point is, you all are magnificent. I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to your blog talk on Saturday mornings.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Jackie. I wanted to jump in with some thoughts. And it's one of the main focus of this chapter is that we, and also kind of answering the addressing Roz's question, is we talk about emotion. Sex is a state of mind, and usually when we talk about sex, we think only. And this state of mind is only associated with the physical side of our human nature. But in order to have this transmutation that we talk about, this changing of our energy and everything, and it means that we're going to switch our mind from thinking just about the physical expression to taking that energy and focusing it on of another nature, some other type of thought processes to take away from just the physical. And we're not talking about that you want to suppress, that you don't want to, you don't have to be celibate and all that kind of stuff. But it does mean that you want to approach your sexual activities and your sexual energy from a completely positive and constructive and balanced state of awareness.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to talk about the youth and everything, you want to talk about how else can we focus that energy. So, and that's what this chapter is more about. It's not about as much the physical side of our sexual, this natural sexual desire that is really one of the most powerful. He talks about it as being the most powerful of our human desires.
And
seeing people who put their bodies at risk, their self at risk and death to satisfy strong sexual.
You know, they
desire.
Always say that behind every great man is a woman, right? So this is that principle. I think Rachel wanted to join in the conversation. Rachel?
Hey guys, I'm on and I am really enjoying the conversation this morning. You know, I just wanted to add a couple things as I reflected in the conversation. You know, Melanie said something that is the biggest thing that stood out for me in this chapter, which was, you know, most of the time you really start cultivating your success and your goals and getting more focused or, you know, having more success between the ages of 40 and 50 and beyond. And that was very exciting for me because sometimes you get frustrated with where you are. And I was approaching, when I became a masterminder, I was just 3 months out. I was approaching the age of 40. I really believe, as I really sit here and try to think about this section, I really and I remember you saying, Stacy, earlier that the section seemed to be written more for men. I think that for me, what is changing in me at this age is the amount of mind space that I allow my relationships to take up. I think that in your 30s and in your 20s, you're in these relationships. It's not so much about the physical, like what Jackie was just saying, but the way you allow your relationship and what's going on in it. And I think that women may be more guilty of this or may do this more than men, is the amount of mind space that we allow how our relationship is going to affect us in business or in our goals. It affects our mood. It affects how we're feeling that day. If something is going wrong, sometimes we can't stay on track. And so now for me, I've gotten, you know, I cleared out a lot of people out of my life last year, people that are affecting your mind space. You know, you find yourself thinking about them or thinking about some type of situation rather than focusing on your goals and where you could be. And I just decided, listen, my mind space is mine, and I want to really discipline myself to use it and all of my creativity towards the things that I want to accomplish in my life. And so when we talk about what would we say to youth, of course, being a woman, I think that I probably would have more to say to young women. But one of the things I would really say is be mindful and be careful about who you allow to be in your life, and how much you allow them to control how you're feeling, how your happiness is, how your focus is, and not allow people and their issues or your situation with this gentleman to be a distraction towards what your destiny is. And so I kind of wanted to add that because I really do. I really began to think that, man, for us or for me, it was more of a mental thing, allowing the wrong types of things to occupy my mind. The other quick thing I wanted to add was that being a woman in business, one of the things I would always try to do is suppress my sexuality. I never wanted to be in a business deal, trying to construct a deal or trying to make a sale and be involved in some type of flirt. You know, this you know, a lot of times we're across the table from men, and I want them to see me as a serious businesswoman. I want them to be listening to what I'm really saying. And so I would really suppress any type of, you know, I wouldn't try to be unattractive, but I definitely wouldn't go out of my way to make myself, you know, more attractive or more magnetic in that area. And this section of the book really made me really consider changing that, because it really talked about people who are confident in their sexuality, people that have a bit of a flair. You know, it does impact your magnetism and the way people respond to you, and they usually have increased sales. And so that would be a big change for me, a big discipline for me. It's something that I have been really trying to avoid for years, to really try to be more, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say more sexy, but more,
right,
I don't know, appealing in the, you know, while you're making a sale, so, you know, so, or while you're constructing a deal. I thought that was really interesting. I don't really even know how to change in that area, but, you know, I said, wow, I've been doing the opposite of what I needed to be doing to be successful. Back over to you, Stacey.
You hit the nail right there.
And right, it's all about how you focus that energy, that sexual energy, in terms of increasing your sales, where you're not focused on the sexual act, which you're not. You know, in your situation, you're not. And I think you do focus your energy on your creative side. I think you do that very well, from what I know about you, in terms of how you refocus. And that's what this, when they talk about the transmission, is that don't focus on just the physical side that takes up energy, because we're going to have these desires. We're not trying to suppress, but we want to refocus that energy. And one of the things that it talks about is you refocus it toward those creatives. It's what it brings out. And I just want to say something, an experience that I had in terms of helping me understand this. I'm taking a class at my church, and this week the instructor had some people from the different whole body medical areas come in and talk to us. And one of the doctors that talked was talking more about the spiritual or the energy. And she was talking about the chakras. Did I say that right? I think I got that wrong.
The chakras.
But she talked about, when she talked about the chakra that's near the sexual area and all of that, she said that's where your imagination, you know, and that's what this is talking about. That when you don't focus your energy on fulfilling the sexual, physical side of it, and rechannel that energy into another direction, that's what fuels your creativity. Mm-hmm. And tap into
that infinite source of energy and knowledge and everything by refocusing that energy. And that's what happened, and that's where it feeds into after 40, and the sexual the physical side is starting to diminish.
Mm-hmm.
We now focus that energy toward other things, and that's why we're able to be more successful.
Right.
So, Rachel, I would say that you do a very good job of focusing your energy. And what you're going to be looking at is it's not so much thinking about it so much, but just going head on, because you're not there trying to satisfy the sexual side, the physical side of that energy. Anybody
yeah.
else?
Well, I think, you know, that magnetism that you talked about, Aminico, and what Rachel was talking about, when we can get that inner thing to ooze out of us, and that becomes the magnetism that attracts people to us and attracts abundance to us. Because if all of those things are flowing, these are things that will bring all of the things that we talked about in Think and Grow Rich. We do have a caller from the 661 area code that would like to join the conversation. And good morning. Can you say where you're calling from?
Go goddamn back where you belong, goddamn Africa, where the goddamn niggers are.
I'm sorry. I don't know what that was. We are again talking about think and grow rich, and ladies, if you'd like to jump in.
Can I just touch, Rachel mentioned one word, and I thought it is very critical in as we discuss this chapter, and it talks about discipline. And I know, like Rachel, and Rachel, maybe one day we can compare notes. Coming into 2012, for me, I tried to limit my association with people and put the energy into something else. Because what I realized is I'm a really open person, but I was allowing things that happened in people's lives and whatever was concerning the people that I felt were close to me or I loved to really crowd my mind. And so I would shift my focus from the desires that I wanted or the things that the goals that I had, and had that crowding in my head. So I didn't have enough space to be creative and to harness that euphoric feeling and, you know, my feel good, stay in my feel good spot and move myself from where I am to where I need to be, where I want to be. And she talked about having discipline. And I think that's even more critical when we talk about directing the youth. Young people have a lot of sexual energy. And if we don't start to find a way to help them channel that energy into something else, and I think it's society is at fault, because society kind of creates this sort of timeline or this timeline where you feel you have to achieve something. So you need to be married or have a boyfriend at a certain age, or you have to be, or you're queer, or you're not in line with what society thinks is the timeline for you to achieve a certain thing at a certain point. And I think for a lot of us, and for a lot of young people, they get confused, because they're like, well, I'm 18 years old, I never had a boyfriend, what am I going to do? And so that becomes the focal point. But if they have other things that they can move that energy into, like maybe building a career. Can you imagine if we take this by numbers, how great our society would be? We would never be in a disaster like we are now. We would have better leaders, because every leader will be able to control that thing that drives them and move it into the thing that helps push mass numbers. I mean, I can't even begin to think how magnificent this is going to be if we were able to just harness our youth and help them to use that energy that they have and to put it into positive things. There wouldn't be room in colleges for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it'll start this domino effect, I think. So I think discipline is definitely one of those things, because I've seen how I have disciplined myself into how I think and how I act and who I let into my life and the things I let crowd my mental space. And I'm seeing magnificent results from it now.
We have another caller that's coming in from last four digits, 0184. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Anne McNeil, the Master Builder, Building Stronger and Better Lives.
Well, good morning, Miss Anne.
Good morning to all of you, and thank you so very much for your interpretation of this chapter, which is one of my favorites, because I think about my own life personally and being married a number of times prior to turning 40. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that I didn't date. I married because of this sexual transmutation and taking that energy and focusing it in other areas. But I also want to give an example that all of us are familiar with, a tragic one actually, of sexual transmutation in a negative sense, is Tiger Woods. And what happened in his life because of, you know, this energy not necessarily being channeled actually after the death of his father into, you know, continue to go into the positive area, like you talked earlier this morning about that positive stream versus that negative stream. So I just wanted to just share that. And thank you all so very much. I'll go back on mute. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, ladies, you know, the other thing that Napoleon Hill talked about is that the desire for sex is one of the most powerful human desires. And when driven by this desire, people develop keenness of imagination, courage, willpower, persistence, and creative ability unknown at other times. So strong and impelling is the desire for sexual contact that many freely run the risk of life and reputation to indulge it. And that's just what Miss Anne referred to with Tiger Woods. When harnessed and redirected along other lines, this motivating force maintains all of its positive attributes and may be used as a powerful creative force in any profession or calling, as well as in the accumulation of riches. This desire for sexual expression is a natural one. It cannot and should not be submerged or eliminated. However, it can and should be given additional outlets through various forms of expression that enrich the body, mind, and spirit. And I think that's what Melanie was talking about. If we can find other avenues to put all of this energy into. And, you know, at our church, we started a youth band. And music, if you remember, was one of the stimuli that Napoleon Hill talked about. And again, that, you know, we have so many good young people in our communities, and we really need to lift them up and encourage them so that they'll bring the others into their realm. And, you know, so this is one of the ways that we could redirect some of those feelings that they're having, is to introduce them to some other creative thing that they could expend that energy and generate some positive vibes. Melanie, are you still on the line with me? Yes. Go, Roz.
I do think that Mastermind offers us an avenue to be more positive examples for our youth, because that's our responsibility as we go about life, is to be an example, to walk what we're trying to get them to portray. And whenever I see my own children going in a certain direction, I check myself. Because mm-hmm. It starts at the head.
Yep.
When you're a leader, you know how you're leading by checking the people that are subordinate to you. And I just want to add and let our audience know that they are listening to IMA, and we're espousing the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And for more information about IMA, International Masterminders Association, visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, International Mastermind Association, and follow us by liking our page. The name of the book, again, is Think and Grow Rich, The Original Version, Restored and Revised by Napoleon Hill. The ISBN number is 159-330-202.
Thanks.
So I just want to reiterate, whatever we want to see in our youth, we must exemplify it in ourselves. And IMA is an excellent example. The principles that we're learning through Think and Grow Rich is a perfect plan for us getting to that point.
Thanks very much. Anne, did you want to join in again? I wasn't sure if you raised your hand.
No, thank you. I'm done. I'm taking my hand down.
Okay. Thank you so much. Melanie, did you have anything else or Rachel that you wanted to contribute to the conversation? We have about 4 minutes left.
I just wanted to add, this is Melanie, I just wanted to add that, you know.
Hello?
Melanie? Well, we seem to have lost her. Don't forget, if you want to join in, please raise your hand, and we'll be able to get you in on the line. I think I have a caller here, 561-5607. Caller, you're on the line. Hello?
This is Melanie again. I got cut off. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You were in the mid-sentence.
I just wanted to say that this is one of the reasons that I joined IMA, because of the, not just the mastermind, but the ability to be able to share with others the things that confuse you or the things that you're not really sure of. And, you know, this morning hearing Rachel give her testimony, and it just, you know, makes me realize that I'm not alone in this walk of life. And so I have other people who are close to me who are going, you know, experiencing some of the same things that I'm experiencing. And for me, that's the joy of being, you know, part of the International Mastermind Association, is that I have within my reach people who have had experiences or who are going through some of the same experiences that I'm having, and, you know, can provide some sort of clarity or even some sort of comfort to help me make my days easier. So now after this conversation, I'm realizing I'm not alone. I can actually do this. I'm confident because I'm not the only person, you know, having some of the challenges that we spoke about this morning. So, you know, for me, that's one of the benefits, the greatest benefits of being part of the International Mastermind Association, and I continue to challenge everyone to continue along this week, continue thinking and growing rich, and to really find yourself some like-minded people that you can actually keep into your fold and call upon, you know, at times to help channel some of the energies that you have.
Thanks a lot, Melanie. Anybody else have anything else that they want to say before we get ready to sign off? I think that we were able to take away the fear or the scare of the title, the sex transmutation. And I think, I hope that our listeners were able to get a fuller understanding of this energy that is developed in each and every one of us that we can utilize to build our businesses,
to build our lives, to build our personal successes. So before we sign off, if there's anybody that wants to join the conversation, I'll give you one more chance to raise your hand and let us know that you want to be on the call. And I want you to remember that your business in life is presumably to achieve success. To be successful, you must find peace of mind, acquire the material needs of life, and above all, attain happiness. All of these evidences of success begin in the form of thought impulses. You may control your own mind. You have the power to feed it whatever thought impulses you choose. With this privilege goes also the responsibility of using it constructively. You are the master of your own earthly destiny, just as surely as you have the power to control your own thoughts. You may influence, direct, and eventually control your own environment, making your life what you want it to be. Or you may neglect to exercise the privilege which is yours to make your life to order, thus casting yourself upon the broad sea of circumstances where you will be tossed hither and yon like a chip on the waves of the ocean. There are no limitations to the mind except those we acknowledge. Both poverty and riches are the offspring of thought. Financial independence, riches, desirable business, and professional positions are not within reach of the person who neglects or refuses to expect, plan, and demand these things. And as Miss Anne always says, you have to have a dream to have a dream come true. I want you all to go out and make it a great week. We're in the second week of February. And ladies, if there's, I don't see anybody else that's interested in joining us this morning, but I want you all to make it a great week. We are Megamind Mastermind Group here for IMA, and I thank all of you that have joined us this morning. We had some great conversations, and thank you all for participating with us this morning. And we look forward to listening with you next week at the same time, 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. Have a blessed week, and thank you again to all our listeners for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio / Mastermind.